Welcome to the 222 Paranormal Podcast, starring your crazy host, Joe Shortridge, and his uncrazy sister, me,
Hello.
Jen Shortridge.
What is up with you, Jen?
What's up, my brother? Let's see. It's freezing.
Yeah.
I think everybody in the entire country is frozen tozen right now.
I think so.
I'm ready for some warm weather. Let's go to Florida. Wait.
Wait, we are.
Wait.
What?
You know what's going on in Florida, Joe?
No. I know it's just, I mean, not just as cold, but it's freezing down there too.
It's frozen. It's so frozen. The iguanas are freezing and falling out of the trees.
No way.
And people are getting bonked in the head by flying iguanas.
No way.
Yeah. It's frozen solid.
It kind of reminds me of, do you remember when we were in Nashville and the local, or the, cicadas were out and they were landing in people's hair?
It was a nightmare. It was like being in a horror film.
But what about these iguanas?
Oh my gosh. So like, it's so cold down there. It's like, they're literally freezing and falling out of the palm trees onto people and onto sidewalks and into swimming pools. It's crazy.
Oh my God. I can imagine. Because, you know,
poor baby.
For one thing, a lot of people are afraid of lizards and all. I mean, they live down there, are used to them. But and like if
huge.
We went there, they're all of a sudden, huge. What would you do if you're walking down the street and this iguana lands on you?
I'd probably get knocked out because some of those things are like 4 to 6 feet long. They're ginormous.
Yeah, I'm just picturing the tiny little ones we saw in Arizona.
Iguanas are big. Like a foot to 6 feet long. But they're cute. And we need to go save them all. What about the manatees? They're probably freezing too.
There was a story. And I don't have it in front of me as usual. But there was a story that the oldest manatee passed away.
No, how sad.
Yeah. But.
Nobody lives forever. Maybe he'll come back and haunt us so we can do a show about it.
He'll be a manatee ghost.
Meow. Paramanatee.
Paramanatee.
All right. So, Joseph.
Today.
What's our topic?
Sunday.
Every Sunday at 2:22 p.m.
We're going to talk about a very exciting, very exciting
topic.
My mind's blank already, and we've only started recording.
I know. It's great.
But today, on the show, we talk about orbs.
Everybody and their brother has probably said, I got a picture of an orb.
Yeah.
But let's talk about what they really are.
And you know my feelings on photos with orbs in them.
Joe, see, being a photographer, he has a different opinion.
Yeah. It just drives me insane to see people always. I mean, I belong to a couple Facebook groups.
Mm-hmm.
And in there, people are always posting pictures. Look at what I captured. And it's like, it's an orb.
Yeah.
And you're in an old building. What do you expect? You know? Yeah.
So we're going to just bring you, like, you know, what they are, some theories on it.
Joe's opinion.
My opinion. Your opinion.
But, I mean,
how to decipher between an orb and a dust ball,
now,
too.
We both have seen them with our naked eyes.
Yes.
So it's not like a thing that I say they don't exist. I just, okay, so let's do this. Let me tell you a little bit how a camera works.
Yes.
Especially the new digital point and shoots and our cell phones. The big difference is, like, I have a digital SLR that I use for photography that has a flash mounted on it, but I never use that flash. I use an external flash so that it's not as close to the lens and you can direct the light. With cell phones and the point and shoot cameras, the flash is right next to the lens.
Okay.
So when you take a picture and that flash is on full flash, anything within inches of that is going to show up in your photo. And we go into these locations, we're always dusty.
Mm-hmm.
Even like my house, it's not the cleanest house in the world, but I try to dust a lot. And even in there, we still have dust in the air. Think about in the summertime when you have light coming through your windows, sunlight coming through your windows, you see dust in the air.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's how you get orbs in photos, is the flash goes off and anything within that zone is going to light up and there's dust in the air. And the smallest little microbe of dust is going to show up as a big orb in your photo because it's so close to the lens.
So the light reflects off of that piece of particle?
Yeah.
Okay. All
right. Exactly. And that's why you get orbs in photos. Now, I'm not saying every orb in the photos mm-hmm. is dust, but 99% of them are.
Okay.
So, folks, I'm telling you right now, if you see a big fuzzy out of focus thing in your photo or a million of them, it's dust. Okay.
And I saw something, this is like related but unrelated, uh-huh. of how to clean your camera lens.
Yeah.
It said, take a glass and hold a candle over it. Okay.
Okay.
And you know how it gets that smudgy black stuff yeah. on the glass? You take a tissue and wipe that off and then clean your lens, and it's supposed to take all of the stuff off of the lens.
I think that like, what you're doing is you're putting the soot on your lens.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason they do that is so that you see where you've cleaned.
Oh, it's interesting.
But I don't think I'd recommend that, because you're putting a heat source, you're putting your phone and your camera right over a heat source.
Well, no, you wipe it off and then on.
You blow the candle out?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And then you take that smudgy black yeah. stuff. So, but I don't know, but they probably make like lens cleaner stuff, right?
For my camera, I use regular lens cleaner a lot.
And you know what? People don't clean their cell phone camera, you know, the stuff over their camera things. So maybe before you go mm-hmm. and do something, you should always, like, you know, make it a part yeah. of your routine to clean that off, just so you don't have any contamination.
And Windex is a good one, mm-hmm. but Windex always leaves a film.
Yeah.
Think about when you do Windex on your windows, there's always a film that you have to wipe off. So I don't recommend cleaning your lenses with Windex.
Mm-hmm.
Get regular lens cleaner.
Yeah.
And it's not that expensive. It's only probably $2 for a little bottle, but get lens cleaner. And I recommend cleaning your cell phone off anyways, because it's one of the most germ-filled yeah. things.
Yeah, you don't want that contamination no. when you're trying to take orb pictures.
Now, there's another thing in photos, and when I use on my digital SLR that I'm I use, there's a main lens that I use. Mm-hmm. It's a compact zoom, so it's a good all-around lens. But in all my photos, there's always black dots. In like the upper right hand corner, there's a few that are always there. And what that is that's, you won't find this on your cell phone cameras uh-huh. or that, but if you use a digital SLR with a lens that you can take off and put on, you get dirt inside the lens.
Oh.
So if you take a picture and you see a black dot in your photo
consistently
in the same spot, that's dust inside your lens. Okay. And you either have to blow out your lens.
Uh-huh.
Some people use air guns, you know, not commercial air guns, but like canned yeah. air. Use that or a vacuum and just swirl it around. But most of the time, you're not going to get that off the lens.
Oh.
You have to have it professionally cleaned.
Mm.
But you might get lucky if you use air gun or that. But so if you see white fuzzy dots in your photo,
mm-hmm.
99% of them are dust.
Okay.
If you see black, it's dust inside the lens. Okay. And but it's that 1% in photos that we can't explain. A good example is Gibbs Bridge photo
yeah,
that we saw.
That was a good one.
And there's actual orb in the tree. That was interesting because he was outside and he didn't use a flash. And he got an orb. See, mm-hmm. and that is where you really have to look. Now, there's another thing that happens when you're using your camera and there's a bright light source by the camera. You'll get lens flare.
Okay, what is that?
That's where the light is going through the lens
mm-hmm.
and make it like a mirror image on the inside mm-hmm. of the lens. And that'll show up as an orb also.
Okay.
So you really got to watch. Whenever you take a picture and you see an orb in the picture, you got to think, okay, which way was I pointing? Where's the sun? Where's the light source coming from? You know, things mm-hmm. like that. But if you're just out and you're taking pictures and you're getting orbs in your photo that you can't explain, that's that 1% that we can't figure out.
Yeah, so you know, you mentioned like white, you know, for dust.
Yeah.
Now, there are orbs of other colors.
Yeah.
And I'm going to go through and tell you what the mm-hmm. different colors may mean.
And that's where now we're going to break from getting fuzzy orb pictures in your photo to the ones that we've actually seen with our own eyes.
Yeah.
So it's that 1% that you can't understand in photos, but if you see them with your own eyes, that's a complete different thing.
Yeah, I mean, like the one that I saw in the basement of the Collingwood Art Center,
mm-hmm.
I saw that clearly with my own eyes. I wasn't taking photos multiple times moving around that basement.
Mm-hmm.
And that one had a light blue tint to it. It wasn't white.
Yeah.
It definitely had color to it.
And that's what I hear.
Where was the other place that I saw one? It was green.
We were at a demonstration or a talk.
Oh, yeah. At the library.
Yeah.
There's a haunted library in the Northwest Ohio area. We went to a talk by one of the local groups.
Yeah, that's right.
And Joe and I both saw it. It was green.
Yeah, we're sitting there and I'm...
And
it
just went straight down and I'm like, did you just see that?
Yeah, I was like, what the hell?
It almost flickered. It like had it went straight down and it came down and it was like, I want to say pulsating. Maybe that's...
But that's what it was, yeah.
Yeah, as it went down, and that was kind of really cool. That was cool.
And that made me remember too, is I know we've mentioned it in a few shows, but when we were in the death room at the Collingwood, I was doing video and we captured that video of the light anomalies moving around your head and coming in and out.
That was cool. And it wasn't necessarily round the whole time. Some of it was kind of oblong.
And with that, and I know we've said this a few times, but when I do video work and when I do camera work, I always watch the beam of light to see if there's dust in that beam, which is really obvious when you're taking the photos. And in that video, we thought we were skunked. I didn't see nothing. And I did not see... And the size of them.
Okay? Yeah, those ones are big.
They're big. I would have saw that in the camera.
Yeah.
You know, in the light. Mm-hmm. And then you come out of the room, and we were with some other person, another girl from a group that was visiting. I think she drove like 3 hours to that investigation. Man. But we were walking out, and I was kind of panning. And as I panned away from you and her, you could see a light anomaly.
Yeah.
Basically an orb in the photo or in the video. Go into you, and just as it went into you, I remember you saying, oh, I got a cold spot.
Yeah.
So we'll put that in the show notes. It's a video on YouTube called 222 Paranormal Captures Orbs at the Collingwood Art Center.
Yeah.
Look at that video and let us know what you think. Yeah. I mean, I did do some narrating in the video with words.
Mm-hmm.
I missed a lot. After going back and watching that again, there were so many things going on in that video that we didn't see. And like I said, I'm a firm believer what dust looks like in the pictures and that, and these do not look like...
Well, don't they say they...
It's those people over there.
Yeah. That if you're looking at dust, it almost has like a snow type effect.
Yeah. Yeah.
Whereas these had specific structured movement to it.
The big ones, which I would have saw, the one appeared just out of nowhere next to your head.
Mm-hmm.
Stayed there for a second.
Yeah.
Now, if that was dust coming towards the camera, which makes it look bigger, you know, like it comes into focus.
Yeah.
We would have saw it would have changed. It would have grew in size and it wouldn't have stayed in that spot and then just went out. And then there's another one. It comes in the room, stops, kind of looks at you and then leaves.
Yeah.
And they're not bugs.
No.
Because I would have saw that when we did the video and I was like,
now, what do bugs look like? Like, is it, they're white, but they have a specific, like, pattern of movement.
Yeah,
like
you'll see the flicker, you know, and you'll be able to tell because they'll pulsate, but it'll be a quick pulsate because what you're seeing is the reflection of their wings reflecting the light. Yep. You may not see their whole body, but you'll see the light pulsating off the wings.
Gotcha.
But that's easy to see when you're taking the video.
Yeah.
You see that.
Yeah, definitely. The one that, you know, came to me, it was the bigger one was see-through.
Yeah.
So if it was a bug, you wouldn't be able to see through it.
Yeah. So if you guys get a chance, I know, like I said, I know we mentioned it a few times, but I love that video.
I know. It's so interesting. Even when I watch it now, and it's been, like a year?
Almost, probably longer than that.
Longer than
almost
a year.
2 years.
Oh, my gosh, yeah. It still fascinates me.
And it's, you know, you go online and you see these videos. Like, we watched one today that had a ghost in, it was like the 10 scariest ghosts caught on video. Yeah. And it was the same person in like six of them.
I know.
So I look at ones on YouTube and I'm like, that is so easy to fake. But this one we took and I cannot explain.
It was a personal
experience.
And it wasn't edited. It was just,
The only editing I did was I shortened it because we were down there longer than what the video is.
Yeah.
And I put words on the video.
Yeah. That's cool.
So, you know, we've seen it with our own eyes. One other example, we love the Collingwood Art Center. We were sitting up in the balcony, and it was pitch black in there, super quiet. We were the only people in that area of the building.
Mm-hmm.
And I was watching the stage in the dark, and we could see green and blue lights going by.
Yeah, going across the stage mm-hmm. from one side to the other. There was, remember the over on like stage left, I think it would be? Stage left. Where we caught that shadow figure. There was orb over there too.
Yeah.
Or a light anomaly, I'll say. I don't know if it was around. You can say orbs.
Okay. I call them light anomalies. Yeah, just
same thing.
But was that the same one that I was taking pictures of you walking away
mm-hmm.
and you got the same one in the photograph that I got?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, and then Joe and I was on the stage and I turned around. I heard a huge bang on the wood floor of the stage. I turned around and snapped a photo real quick and I caught almost like a swipe of light behind me. And that was kind of cool. I'll post that up too. But interesting. I've seen them in my house. I've seen them at like different events that Joe and I have gone to, you know, in the light too. I see them in the light, like movement, and you catch it and you look and you're like, no, it's probably a gnat or something. And I'm like, I don't have gnats in my house.
Yeah.
But you know, it's like, if you see it more than once, there's got to be something to it. You know, it's either, I don't know, it's just so cool. I'm just fascinated by them.
And that's, you know, I mean, I look at these photos that people send me and that, and I'm like, it's dust. It's dust. But when I can tell the difference between a photo.
And Joe and I have been in some dusty, old locations that are just, like, we've been in places that haven't been, you know, like people haven't been in routinely and they're dusty,
dirty,
like the South Main School down in Bowling Green, Ohio. It's not an abandoned school, but it's unused. It's been unused for many, many, many years, and Joe and I were one of the first people to be in that. It's an old, like, what, 1800s school. We were one of the first, thanks Don, for letting us come in, groups to go in. I think they had an open house and then they let us in, right?
What it was, he announced that he was having an open house. Don from Fringe Paranormal has a schoolhouse now that in Bowling Green, Ohio, that they're working on to get, they need to get electric and power and all, or water and that, but you can still ghost hunt there now with no, which is awesome because there's no electricity. No water,
so
nothing.
So you don't have that contamination, but it was very dusty in there.
So, I mean, we'll link that up in our show notes too, because those guys are awesome.
Yeah,
they're so cool. But they had an open house, and what they wanted to do with the open house was show people that they're opening it up to the public. And they also wanted people that went to school there, because it was in operation real recent.
Like into the 90s, I think.
Yeah. So they had an open house, and I was like, I'm going to go check it out. I didn't know who was putting it on. And when I walked up and saw them, I'm like, oh, cool, you know?
Yeah.
And they're doing a great job of working on that.
But we saw a couple orbs in that place, though.
Yeah.
Which was very...
And...
With our naked eye, not...
Yeah.
But also through my lens, too.
Uh-huh. And we got some evidence that blew me away with the SLS camera. We saw that stick figure walk up and sit down next to Don.
That was cool.
But I'm sure we'll do a show on that place later.
Yeah,
but
that's a neat place if you guys want to go ghost.
Like we said, you can see orbs with your own eyes. I mean, the Native Americans used to watch orbs. I don't remember what they called them, but that was a big thing.
We have this interesting thing about, like, an orb.
Okay.
It's called St. Elmo's Fire.
Oh, yeah. I wanted to talk about that.
Okay. You want to talk about it now?
No, go ahead. Okay. I'll tell you my story afterwards.
Okay, so... this is kind of like the history of what St. Elmo's Fire. Everybody knows it because it was like a 80s classic movie. You know, remember
with
the
Was it the a movie or was it a it was the a, song?
No, both. It was both.
They probably made the song for the movie.
Right, exactly. So it was like Demi Moore. There was the Brat Pack, you know, Emilio Estevez, Judd Nelson, all that. Good. Oh, God. Those were the days when movies were good. Okay, so sailors out to sea would sometimes see a bluish glow shoot out of the ends of the mast of ships at night, and the light wasn't hot and it wouldn't burn anything on board, but they took it to be a good omen. They called it St. Elmo's Fire. So atmospheric scientist guy named Steve Ackerman, he had been fascinated by St. Elmo's Fire since his brother had encountered it, and he still hasn't seen it firsthand, but he's still looking for it. So Ackerman's brother was working on like a copper piping in his basement during thunderstorm,
which is always a great idea.
Okay, so when the thunderstorm moved into the, yeah, I know, remember when our brother Bill was changing a light bulb in the basement and the lightning struck our house and he got zapped in the basement.
Which, not by the way, was funny, ball lightning, which is the type of orb.
Yeah. Okay. Funny, not funny.
Sorry about that.
Funny, not funny.
Yeah.
But we can laugh about it now. But the house did catch on fire.
Yeah.
Which is a whole nother story because you guys forgot me and left me in the house. And rabbit hole.
Okay.
When the camper caught on fire and everybody got out and left me Jen, in there.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So loved. Okay. So guys working on some copper piping in the basement during a thunderstorm. And at one point, the pipes had a blue glow over them. And he was like trying to figure out like what causes this. So it's like thunder clouds create a strong electrical field. And because of the strong difference in electrical charge between the cloud and the ground, you sometimes feel static. So the field can be intensified by pointed objects like metal pipe or mast of a ship. So it's almost like a wand, like a magician's wand. You know, maybe maybe there's something to that. That's maybe why the magicians had the wand.
Oh,
Joe.
Rabbit hole.
Oh, my gosh. But it could have been out of copper.
Yeah.
And if he's out in a lightning storm and then he has this blue.
Or shuffles his feet across the floor.
Oh, my God. We got to try that.
Yeah,
we got to try that. Okay. Well, wait, no. Okay. So if the electrical field becomes strong enough, it can break the air molecules down into electrically charged particles, and then the gases become plasma and they give off a glowing light. So like our plasma ball,
which I have sitting right here,
we have right here. You put your finger on it and all the electricity goes up to that point. Very interesting. So yeah, Saint Elmo's fire. Can you imagine like not knowing what we know in modern science now and then seeing something like this? Maybe that's why they thought people were magicians. Maybe they had this knowledge of this electrical charge and they could create a little spark or something, and then all of a sudden they're the local magician, Merlin the magician, and there's where legends are made.
So let me tell you my story before we get into the types and colors of orbs.
Okay.
I work with a guy named Larry who's awesome, and he's a listener. Hi, Larry.
Hi, Larry.
Larry, where are you? Oh, Larry's awesome. He's a cool dude. He was in the Navy, and he was not a pilot, but he flew in the plane. Uh-huh. And I don't remember what kind it was, but it was like a carrier type plane, huge plane. And he had on the plane, there was a giant plastic dome on the front of the plane so they can see out.
Okay.
I don't know if they took pictures or what. I don't know. But anyhow, he was telling me a story because I was telling him that I was doing a Friday night video on orbs. Mm-hmm. And he talked about St. Elmo's fire. And I'm like, yeah. I said, it's the sprites that come out of the top of the clouds, mm-hmm. like lightning out of the top of the clouds. He's like, no. He says, when we flew in our plane, mm-hmm. the static would build up on the front of the nose, on the nose cone of the plane, and a ball of light, the size either went from a softball size to a basketball size, would come in the plane, bright blue. And it would float in their plane.
What the hell?
And he said that they would call back to the back of the plane and say, be careful, there's a St. Elmo's fire heading your way. And it would be a ball of blue light that would float through the plane, through everything. And he actually told me that they would, when it got to the back of the plane, they would open the window and it would fly out. I'm like, are you kidding me? He's like, no, I swear to God, this is true. This happened. And he says, they used to laugh about it because you had to be careful not to touch it.
What would happen
and
if you touch it?
And he said that one time, one came in the plane and a newbie on the plane went to grab it with both hands and it shocked him on his ass. Because it's a static electricity charge.
Oh, wow.
But I never knew that these things actually, I thought they were the sprite or the lightning bolts that come out of the top of the planes, because you see, in the old days, they talked about the lightning bolts coming out of the mast of the ships,
mm-hmm.
which is the same thing. But this was an actual ball of static that he called St. Elmo's fire in the plane that would float through.
Cool.
And he says that the newbies on the plane would always try to touch it and they'd get shocked.
Learn what is so that once bit, twice
shy. It blew
shy.
My mind when he told me that. And, you know, obviously he told the story a lot better than I did, but to actually see a ball of light floating through your plane. It's sort of like the Foo Fighters.
Yeah.
In World War II, there were these balls of light that would follow the planes. They would chase and follow the planes around. They call them Foo Fighters. A lot of people think they're aliens,
mm-hmm.
but they could have been static charges sure. in the air that chased the planes.
Interesting. You ever like been in the dark and like try to like pull your blanket off the bed and then you see all these little all the sparks time. Of light?
Yes, because my house is so dry. And
you get zapped.
I wear a Red Wings pullover type shirt that's made for heat.
Uh-huh.
I think you got that for me for Christmas.
Uh-huh.
Never fails. I could be standing in a bucket of water. I take that thing off and it's like zap, 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 zap.
Interesting little balls of light. Wonder if that attracts spirits.
It's possible.
Because it's energy.
I don't see why not.
Energy.
And how do we know that the spirits are not using static electricity in the air to manifest as these orbs?
Could be. Never know.
Yeah.
That's interesting. All right.
So why don't we talk about the different colors and what they represent?
So there's, you know, different theories about what the different colors of orbs mean. And the interpretation, you know, is open to different beliefs. But however, most cases, people are interpreting like orb colors and assigning meanings on them based on their like kind of spiritual beliefs.
Okay.
And, you know, these are just theories, but it could be a way that people are trying to communicate with us too, like from the other side. So if it's a clear orb, it may be a sign that entity is trying to communicate with you. So the spirit may be trying to let you know that it's some kind of significant event happened in that location and the spirit wants help to move on. So that's a clear orb.
So be like a bubble.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And yeah. I've seen those too, where it's almost like, you know, we talk about shadow figures, but we've also seen white or just like the predator effect where mm-hmm. it glists. There's a space in the air that just glistens and you're like, okay, what is that? So yeah. That could be a clear orb.
Yeah, and interesting too, because like, you know, like you mentioned in the sunshine, you see all that dust.
Yeah.
But we're generally ghost hunting in the dark at night.
Yeah.
You're not getting that type of light.
Mm-hmm. No.
If you have any light in the location. I mean, we've been in some places that's been so pitch black, you can see your hand in front of your face.
It's weird because...
Which is scary.
It's like the
prison.
Cave in the Rock.
Yeah.
Way back in Cave in the Rock.
Mm-hmm.
Which is interesting because we talk about ghost hunting in the dark, and it's weird because you get in those dark areas and all of a sudden it starts light, you know, your eyes adjust to the light
mm-hmm.
and people are like, how? I've been asked like when we went to the prison, they're like, well, how did you walk around and not trip? And I'm like,
eventually
it's kind of weird because you start adjusting. You can actually see kind of, you know,
but you know, one of the darkest places we were in is that St. Joseph's Hospital hallway.
Which
and it was daylight.
Yeah, because it was so dark in there because there was the main hallways that we were walking down. And that place is so creepy. I love it. But, you know, they're going to have, and I've already told them we're going to be a part of it. They're going to have another St. Joseph's Psychic and Paranormal Fair like we did last year. It's going to be April 21st and 22nd, 2018 at St. Joseph's Hospital. Building A in Lorain, Ohio. But yeah, we'll put up links to that before. Yeah. But
we did. I can't remember. I thought I saw an orb in the chapel.
Okay.
Now, remember, Melinda was telling us about all the activity that happens in the chapel. Yeah. There's a nun that appears. Mm-hmm. Several nuns that appear. They don't like people in there because they think, you know, they're disturbing.
That's right. There
remember,
was a,
but I saw an orb
there. Was
in
a
there.
Group that went in there and was kind of messing around and... On their EVP, they heard the nun yelling at them.
Yeah, interesting.
So look,
but
keep an eye out for that, folks. I love that event.
It was a white orb.
Okay.
White or silver. Okay, all so right. White or silver means...
Oh, nice segue.
I know, thanks. That it's an indication that a spirit is trapped on this plane. So white or silver might be a sign that they're there to offer protection to the people in the area. So white energy is typically perceived as... highly positive in nature.
Okay.
So if you see a white or silver one, they could be there.
White's the most common in photos.
It's almost like an angel. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like angelic. Okay. So if you see a brown or a black orb, it's also associated with lower spiritual vibrations or heavy energy.
Okay.
light and dark.
Yeah,
you know, light the and dark. Yin and yang.
Yeah.
Okay. So they interpret it as evil, though it's not necessarily the case. When a black or a brown orbs appear, it's usually a sign that the area may be unsafe or negative, or just proceed with caution and just, you know, just use your instincts if you're feeling unsafe or.
Yeah.
Okay. So you might want to get out of that area.
Yeah.
If you see a red or an orange orb, it's also associated with safety and security, so as well as a sense of belonging. So like the warmer colors are association with strong emotions, anger, passion, and they say, you know, they, our research shows
those people
that
over there.
It may be that orb is assigned a role of being a protector, a caregiver, or somebody watching over you.
What color is that?
Red or orange.
Oh, okay.
Okay. And then just two more here.
Okay.
Well, three more. I'll try to make it snappy.
That's fine.
It's a lot of info to throw at people. But with a green, it represents kind of your heart or nature. So green orbs are sometimes thought to be an indication of a presence of a human spirit or that was never human on Earth.
Oh, okay.
Okay, interesting. Aliens.
Aliens
greens.
Were green. Yeah. Now they're gray.
And green may also represent like love or oneness with nature.
Okay.
So maybe it's an animal spirit.
That's possible.
Or an iguana falling out of a
tree. An iguana spirit. Yeah.
Poor iguanas. Oh, I got to go and rescue them, Joe. I'm going to do gray, and then I'm going to talk about blue because I want at last. Because we have an interesting story about a blue orb.
Okay.
Okay, so gray or smoky orbs may indicate depression or spiritual lack, fear, or may be like a depressed spiritual entity. So gray or smoky, they're lacking in maybe a spiritual presence, or they may be in some kind of confusion or trouble.
Oh. And, you know, that makes me think about, you know, we talk about the bright, the white is the highest level, the dark is the dark, or lowest level, and it's the spectrum of light.
It's almost like your chakras, too.
Exactly. That's what I was thinking.
Interesting. And then finally, a blue orb, which is very common.
Yeah, I think that's the most common that I've heard of.
Interesting. So it's associated with psychic energy and truth. So it's calming color, and people associate it with spirit guidance. They say a blue orb is a calming presence or may feel like energy from that. And it may be an indication of a presence of a spirit guide.
Oh, okay.
Which is interesting because one of the most common places to see blue orbs is Gettysburg.
Oh, okay.
So my sister got a great picture of a blue orb on the battlefield, which we weren't supposed to be out there at night, but we snuck up. Okay, we won't tell
you. You were on that road.
Yeah, we were standing
You were still standing on the pavement and but, leaning way over.
Yeah, but interesting. Nothing out there.
Mm-hmm.
It was no, you know, there's not a lot of out. There's no like electricity or lights on the battlefield.
No, there's not.
There's a few in the parking lot close to it, but. Mm-hmm.
And it wouldn't be if it was like a lens flare or that, it wouldn't be blue. It would be the same color as the light.
Yeah, because where she was pointing it, there was nothing behind it to reflect back. Yeah. But it was very, very blue.
Hmm.
It was cool.
I haven't seen that. Can we see that?
I'll have to see if she's...
See if she has it. See if she'll let us put it on our page.
I don't know if she printed it or if... it was on her phone or what.
Okay.
But yeah, we'll try.
If possible, we'll throw it up on the Facebook page.
Yeah. But yeah, many blue orbs are associated with the Civil War type battlefield.
Interesting.
Yeah. So.
See, I didn't know that. I learned something.
You learned it.
I've done right my learning for today.
Y'all got some book learning.
So, yeah, I mean, I wanted to bring this topic up because I was so annoyed by people sending me all these photos of dust orbs and saying, look at what I captured.
Yeah.
And, you know, you got to be honest with them. I tell them, you know, listen, it's just dust. Here's how it works. You know,
now I've heard too that people see faces in orbs. What do you think about that?
But you got to remember that the human mind is designed to recognize things and turn them into faces because we recognize faces so much.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying all of them don't have faces in them, but a lot of time the spirits, they're not going to manifest a face. It's just an orb. And by the different colors of orbs is what they are manifesting. Now, there may be faces in the orbs, mm-hmm. but it could only be because that's what the human mind recognizes.
Okay.
But who knows?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, everything we talk about is up to debate because we don't really know. So, I mean, what's your opinion on that? Send us some info on that. You know, what do you think?
I like to see orbs myself. You know, like, I think they're interesting.
Very interesting.
And it's funny, too, because sometimes, like, we'll be somewhere and we'll see them with our naked eye, but we don't see them on the camera, and then mm-hmm. opposite.
Yeah.
Like
the video that I was saying, you know, I mean, I know we mentioned a lot, but I love the video. 222 captures orbs at the Collingwood Arts Center. Go up and look at that and tell us what you think of it, because that was a situation where I was there. I know 100% fact I did not see anything in the light beam. And even in the video, you can hear us. We're like, we got skunked. Nothing. And then we look and it's all kinds of stuff. So you never know what you're going to capture.
Yeah. I'm wondering, too, if you are seeing orbs, is that an indication that, you know, you may see something bigger?
Oh,
or different, like, you know, an apparition or something like that. Is that an indicator, or is that just something completely?
Is it the indicator or the event?
I don't know.
You know? But we don't know. That's keep an eye out for your orbs, folks. Keep an eye out for your orbs in your life.
And if you have any of these different colored orbs, you have pictures of them, throw them up on our Facebook page and let's talk about them.
Yeah.
I'd love to see them.
I started up an open group on our page.
Yeah.
And it's an open group, so talk about whatever you guys want to talk about.
Mm-hmm. You know, except for us.
Talk about me. I don't care. Get the but it gets everybody involved. I want to make our Facebook page more of a community thing.
Yeah.
You know?
Cool.
And I did it separate than the main page so that we can talk about whatever we want.
That's right.
You know? Speaking about talking about things.
Talk.
Our next event that we're going to be at is Twinsburg Paranormal Conference.
Yes.
February 17th mm-hmm. in Twinsburg, Ohio, where I don't know where that's at.
I think it's near Columbus.
Okay. Look it up. Come on out. We're not going to have a table there, but we're going to be walking around talking to people.
Yeah, we're going to go down and meet and greet and just try to make some connections and say hello.
Check it out. You know, because
if you see us walking around in our 222 shirts,
stop us.
Buy one.
Let's talk.
We have I Speak EVP shirts for sale.
We'll have them with us.
Yeah.
In the car.
Yeah. We have all kinds of sizes, so we'll fit you up real good.
Yeah. You know, and come down and talk. And this is nice because we don't have a booth there, so we're going to be able to walk around.
Yeah,
we're going to be able to listen to the speakers.
Yes, that's the best part, because Joe and mm-hmm. I are always at our table.
And that's why we didn't get a booth there. We were thinking about it, but we're going to PodFest, and then we're coming home,
mm-hmm.
and it's the weekend after.
Yeah,
we're
it's going to be busy.
No, let's just go hang out. Let's go hang.
We're going to go hang with some frozen iguanas in Florida.
But come hang with us in Twinsburg, Ohio.
Oh, and if anybody knows of any haunted type haunted locations in and around Orlando area, send us a message.
Yeah.
Put it on our Facebook, because we were looking for places to go check mm-hmm. out. Somebody at my work did tell me about a haunted restaurant there in Orlando called Andrea's, I think it is.
Well, we'll have to go
and they
eat
said
there.
We have to go there. Yeah. I'm like, okay, I'm in.
Hey, it's food and it's haunted.
Listen, you know I don't miss any meals.
So if you guys are in the area and you're going to the Twinsburg Paranormal Conference.
Yeah, let us know.
Come hang with us.
Hanging out.
Hang with me.
Ooh, celebrity.
Yeah.
All right.
So other than that, please, if you get a chance, do it. Get up there on our Facebook page.
Yeah.
Tell us your stories.
We're also on Twitter.
And please share our page with someone.
Yeah.
We're trying to get more likes. I'm trying to get people to like me.
They all like you, Joe. You're very right. Likable.
Well, thanks for listening, and we're going to leave you with some Dead in Five.
Jesus, burn his fingers when you touch my wicked body.